Please see what those boys are up to.
Introducing WWF Wrestling Buddy. Wrestling Buddies from Tonka. Funk 'em, bop 'em. Wrestling Buddies are looking for action.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Nothing, Dad.
Rock it!
Who do you think you are?
Dad Hulk Hogan!
Wrestling Buddies want to be your buddy.
Henry, what's going on up there?
Nothing, dear.
WWF Wrestling Buddies, new from Tonka. He's sold separately.
Wrestling Buddies, episode 2. This is a...
Toga.
Christ, I can't even get going here. Christ, I got someone chanting Toga in the background. Hi.
Find out why in a minute.
I'm one half of the Wrestling Buddies team. I'm Paul.
And I'm Mike. Welcome to my humble abode.
Yes. We were in a Castle of Speesman.
Spees Mansion.
I like Castle. I like Castle of Speesman better. Yes, we are here, Wrestling Buddies episode 2, and today we're going to be reviewing WrestleMania 9. Yes, our trek into more garbage and wrestle crap brings us to WrestleMania 9, but before we get to there, just want to say a big thank you to everyone that's checked out the show.
Yes, a lot. I check the shit every day, and it seems that it's kind of up and down where, you know, we just kind of forget to post it to share it for one day, and then we do it, and then this is a spike. So really cool shit.
Well, I've been on vacation, so
yeah,
that's how that goes. But before we get underway, Y2 Stump, that's Twitter over here, so go follow me there. And you can also check out the Nitro Cast, which will be returning here probably next week.
Yep, and you can check me out at Cast of Champion or at Mike Speesman. And Cast of the Champions, I'm going to have a show. We were going to do one tomorrow, the two of us, but we decided I'm just going to do my next one by myself next week for reasons that we don't want to say on the air right now.
No, bees tipping hands.
But yeah, you can Cast of Champion at Mike Speesman.
Yeah, and go check out the last episode because we did that one last week and it's awesome.
Yes.
All right, you ready for this?
Before we get a little back to give you on this, why we picked, the very reason we picked last week's show was obviously because of RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reason we picked this show was we got more back into the wrestling reason and storyline reason of why we picked this show. Why the fuck does Hulk Hogan finish the night off as champion? And then the more we looked at the show and we thought, this really is a shit show. Good talent, there's a lot of good stuff and stuff we're going to go over. But... yeah, we know why is a wrestle crap show.
Yeah, everything really fell flat in this entire show. Pretty much, you know, anything that they did just
from start to finish.
Yeah, this show had the reverse Midas touch.
Yeah, this is one we were just talking before we got on air here. I remember as a kid watching this stuff, thinking, "Wow, this shit's awesome! Hulk Hogan's champion."
Yep.
And then as we become older and smarter in the ways of how wrestling should be. We'll get more into that shit at the end.
Yeah, we'll get to it. I'm sure I'll be cursing out Hogan before the night is over. All right, here we go. WrestleMania 9, coming to you from Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada. Paid attendance of 16,891, drawing 1.1 million at the gate, and it was a 2.3 buy rate.
That is pretty good for that time.
It's pretty damn good, but it's down from the year before, which was a 2.8. So, I mean, what does that show you? It shows you, you know, talent.
Yeah, it's starting to dwindle. And yeah. Remember, the other time where Hogan was gone for most of between 8 and 9, that's how big of an impact he had on that at the company at that time. So.
Yep. It was, just a big change.
The steroid thing was starting to come up.
The company philosophy, the talent, everything is changing at this point. So, you know, this is a big transition show, and it shows by the talent.
Because
You'll see that, you know, in the next couple of years, you know, half of these people that are there won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be leading another another promotion to prominence.
Go back and watch us. Start listening to season one of NitroCast.
Yeah.
Or episode one.
Yeah. No, don't. That's fucking unlistenable.
No.
It is. The first episode's unlistenable. All right, so let's get down to business here. Get down to business, if you will. Start off with Gorilla Monsoon and the Toga.
But first, no national anthem. I believe it's the last WrestleMania I can remember that had no national anthem. I have to go back and look. I can't say for sure.
There's more.
But there's got to be more. But to me, that kind of... I just didn't think about it until later on, but kind of stuck out.
Yeah. Girl in a Toga. He gives us a quick little intro. And then we go to the debut of good old JR Jim Ross.
Pre-Bell's Palsy Jim Ross.
Yep. Speaking on both sides of his mouth again this week. Mm-hmm. And he's next to a Trojan. He shows off his sandals, and it's the world's largest toga party. That was really
total shit.
Yep, that was the main theme that they wanted to push in this show, was that it's the world's largest toga party. Like, and like toga parties were fucking huge back then.
Yeah, and they renamed Howard Finkel.
Oh, yes, he is Finkus Maximus.
Oh, please.
So we go up to him as he intros Cleopatra and Caesar out on an elephant. Which JR conveniently keeps calling a pachyderm.
Yep, I honestly cannot remember him even calling it an elephant. I think he kept saying pachyderm.
Yeah, he kept going pachyderm. That's what we call in Oklahoma. And he even puts over the elephant, like how big it is, how agile it is, everything. Tells us where it played fucking college football.
Side note on Cleopatra, she has some nice cans.
She had some huge cans.
Yes,
nice. So there we go. We're already off to a stunning start here. Yeah, it's me. I'm already feeling good about the show. Because out next is, carried by a bunch of fellas and some Vestal virgins, is the
Feeding
macho
grapes.
Man. Yeah, dig it.
Feeding them grapes.
He is eating some grapes. The grapes were great and the chicks were cool. Yeah, dig it.
Okay, he had a llama leading the party.
He had a fucking llama there. He had dudes hanging all over him. I mean, Macho is in his glory here. And I'm a happy guy. But then... poor Bobby Heenan. He comes out backwards on a camel. It was so great. I mean, because he can sell comedy like no one else.
Oh, yeah.
And
it gave him momentum. It gave him material to use for the rest of the show, too.
Yep, they
camel stinks. Yep. I smell it over here.
They worked the shit out of camel the entire show. Camel brings him down to announce position, lets him off. He falls. You know, he's doing comedic bumping. Macho Man pulls up Heenan's toga, shows off Heenan's blue undies, and gives a thumbs up. It was great. I just want that picture as like my profile picture on Twitter. I gotta find it. Macho thumbs up next to Bobby Heenan's blue ass. Mm.
The whole beginning took way too long.
This was a 10-minute intro.
Yeah, it was horrible. Especially had no national anthem, and then to have what left took over to 10 minutes. Jeez, a 2-hour and 43-minute show, by the way.
What would you prefer, a 10-minute intro like this or a 10-minute Triple H promo?
Yeah. That's what we get now.
Yep. All right, opening contest for the Intercontinental Championship.
Way to kick off the show.
I know. Look at that. They were even smart back then. They knew to put the work rate guys out there on Front Street. Your champion, HBK, with Luna Vachon taking on Native American Tatanka.
Okay, I forgot one thing, too. Everyone know here. I forgot about this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Bobby Heenan said to JR, you're probably used to this smell being from Oklahoma. I wrote that down. Some of many great... The only thing that made this show bearable was the excellent commentary. I use excellent loosely.
Killed it. Yeah. No, it was excellent. They killed it.
But it was fantastic.
All three of these guys
were laughing the whole time.
These three worked really well together, and Bobby Heenan is on fucking fire.
Yep.
All right.
Sorry, I'm sorry about
that. Nope, you're good. You're good. Okay, HBK with Luna taking on to Native American Tatanka. Sherry out before the bell rings, so she's going to be into Tonka's corner loosely, Jerry. Yeah. And Bobby says that she's out there to beg for forgiveness, calls Luna, Macho Man calls Luna, she's a Vestal Virgin, but for a different reason, yeah.
he asked, did she win a tough guy competition?
Oh, it's so good. See, this is what made the show bearable. Tatanka's still undefeated, so that was something.
Mm-hmm.
He had a pretty long undefeated streak.
He did.
But you know what? He is just like a black hole in my memory. So he had nothing for me. Let's see. Early on, he counters a top rope dive into an arm drag.
This looked horrible.
It was terrible.
Didn't make sense.
No,
I can never remember that ever happening again.
No. And he tried to work some arm drags. They were trying their best to make this guy to be super babyface Ricky Steamboat. Didn't work for me. We get a corner flare spot by HBK, so he's already working that in. Tons of chops by Tatanka. We get a top rope sunset flip botch by HBK. That looked terrible. Tatanka landed right fucking on top of him.
There was a time during this match where it looked like Luna, she was kind of wrapped around the ring post, and I just thought, man, she should start licking it. That would be fucking hilarious. I don't know why it would have been great.
That's not what you said. You said, hold on, you know what? It'll be really hot if Luna...
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I said.
If Luna started licking that pole.
Yeah, that's why one of my comments later, no part of Luna is hot. Look, it says it right there. But yeah, you're right, I said that. That would have been edited so bad.
Yeah. HBK looks super heavy here. He has lead in his shoes. He could barely do a leapfrog. He's not good here, folks. If someone is ever going to tell you Shawn Michaels is the greatest worker of all time, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Chief Running Chicken.
We get a Chief Running Chicken joke later. That's fantastic. Tatanka works the arm, so look at that. We get a little bit of scientific wrestling here because Michaels had a previous shoulder injury. So look at that. This is an okay match outside of HBK's botching. We get a two-minute run-on sentence by Macho Man.
We wonder if he could even breathe during that
time. No, he did not breathe. Someone had Heenan had to elbow him and tell him to breathe. HBK tries to close line, but to no effect because he did it with the hurt arm. Good stuff. That was an absolute great spot. Probably the best spot of the night to me because it just made so much goddamn sense, and I love that. Eat the post shoulder spot. someone asks if Luna's from Oklahoma, and Bobby counters with, "Nah, she's pretty."
She's too pretty to be from Oklahoma.
There's a shoulder breaker there by Tatanka, and then I realize that there's only been like one pin attempt here, and that was off that really shit top rope sunset flip.
Yep.
Yeah, so they went, you know, a good 7-8 minutes without a pinfall attempt. Not good. Top rope chop by Tatanka, caught by a crescent kick, not a super kick yet. And then HBK follows that up by shaking his cock at Cherry. Any comment on that?
The first chant of the night by the crowd, of the show by the crowd, was for Cherry. And that just tells you how shitty this was when the first chant is for Cherry.
Yep.
And evidently, she's really over because we'll go on to that reason.
Neckbreaker gets a 1-2. No. How would you like to come home a half hour late to that? I'm telling you, Bobby's fucking on fire here. We got a HBK with a top rope. What a maneuver. What the hell was that? They couldn't even explain it. It was a what a maneuver. That's what it is. They pulled out. That's how you know that Vince was in someone's ear because we get a what a maneuver.
The Hurricane Rana, the botch Hurricane
Rana. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was a botch Hurricane Rana. Remember, he did the Hurricane Rana into a pin. It was a second pinfall attempt. When they counted the pin, his leg was actually under his shoulder. So we're trying to figure out how the hell there could even be a legitimate pin.
It looked like he was trying to go for the cross arm breaker. That's what I thought it was. But yeah, that shows you how terrible this move was. Yeah. We have two people with two different ideas of what that fucking move was. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if you had Shawn Michaels, he'd give you a third interpretation. Mm-hmm. He tries a water maneuver again, gets electric chair. Yep. He bumped hard to that one.
Yes,
though.
that was super hard.
Gets a 1-2 no or a 2 99 100ths.
Yeah.
Tatanka hulks up.
Hulking dance. Hulk up hulking dance.
Yeah. Ugh. Michaels bumps like an asshole. We get a couple near falls for Tatanka. Power slam countered an HBK crossbody for 2. Get another big Sherry champ. Not big Sherry champ, but just Sherry champ. It'd have been great if they would have called her Big Sherry.
Big Sherry.
Michaels hits the stairs, tosses the ref, gets back in. Tatanka with a Samoan drop goes for the pin, but...
No, we have a DQ.
No, it was not a DQ. Tatanka wins by count.
Oh, that's right. And they, I think it's Maximus called it wrong.
Yeah, they deliberate there for a few minutes. And yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, a count out.
Yeah.
That shows you how great these finishes are going to be tonight. And I think I know what's going on, but I don't like it. Yeah. So, do you? Yeah. Did you call that one match?
Intercontinental title match.
Fucking idiots.
In a DQ at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Let that soak in for a minute.
Yep. Luna whoops Sherry's ass on the floor. She needs some help. Always has. Start with makeup. this match. What do you think?
It had its moments. You know, you mentioned about Shawn selling, because I wrote that down too. Selling the shoulder injury, really good, because he was the one being beat up for the first, I don't know, third of this match. But then when he took over, it's almost like that thing disappeared.
Oh yeah, totally, you know, disappeared.
It just totally disappeared. I mean, there's ways to control a match with an injury. You know, just as little shoulder shrug every now and then, just be like, kind of like he's getting the blood back in it. And that was something that, to me, it stuck out, that could have held the match. I mean, it was a botch mess. It was too many botches in the match, especially for an HBK match.
That little thing right there is something that Shawn Michaels would do 15 years later.
Yep.
You know, he would pick up that nuance, and he would do things like that. But anybody says Shawn Michaels' greatest worker ever, no. Tell him go watch this match.
Yeah.
Anything around this era, because you know what? He was not that good.
Nope.
Tatanka, he's terrible. I never liked
Chris Chava is in a very extremely racist gimmick.
Oh yeah, every Native American gimmick is absolutely racist. You know, at least they didn't call him Native American Tatanka every opportunity they got.
And just remember, this is not the most racist thing that happened in this show.
Oh, not even close.
We're gonna get to that later.
Not even close. I would even say it was top three. Wait, it's probably number three. That's foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of that too.
Oh yeah.
We go to the back with Mean Gene. Oh boy, I can't fucking get away from Gene. He's in back. He's in back with the Steiners, and they're excited.
Remember, if you remember the last show, and maybe you probably do, we really got on the Steiners for their promo.
Oh yeah, the
promo that went way too long, didn't make any sense.
No, it was terrible. This one slightly better. They kept it short, kept it sweet. Exactly. They're excited. They're gonna make Caesar proud and wrestle.
And Steiner has the first best mullet of the night.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely... Oh, no.
Yeah, HBK was there. Yeah, HBK was there.
Woo, yeah.
Not the best of the night, though. The best is yet to come on the mullets, so...
Gotta love 90s WWF.
Yep.
Next contest, Head Shrinkers with Afa, right? Take it on the Steiners.
Yep.
And we got our first slobber knocker.
And don't forget, the referee of the match.
Oh, yeah, Bill Alfonso.
Bill Alfonso. Fonzie was there.
Oh, yeah, he makes his presence felt throughout the night.
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. He especially later on. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he said JR's first slobber knocker, and Bobby shit all over it.
Bobby shits all over it. He's wonderful. We start off with a really good punch exchange. Rikishi bumps Giant to a Steiner line. So he's already starting that kind of flip bump to a clothesline. We get double topper up Steiner lines, and there's the dog-faced gremlin and his brother. Yeah. Macho is just on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got nothing to... poor Scotty Steiner didn't have a fucking nickname until, you know, he became Freakzilla.
Big Papa Pump.
Big Papa Dump. Speaking of Big Papa Dump, he does a butterfly bomb on Samu, and then he gets hot-shotted by Samu. Fatu pulls down the ropes, and Scotty almost breaks his fucking neck.
Big time.
As he goes from the ring to the floor, pretty much nothing else stopping him.
Then he takes one of the nastiest candlestick shots you're ever going to fucking see. Especially earlier.
Yeah.
Early before they start becoming popular.
Splits his goddamn kendo stick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's none of this, you know, hey, Scotty, you okay? Are you paralyzed? No, it's fuck you. Boom.
Here's a kendo stick.
Yeah, cane shot to your goddamn back. Good Christ. We get a long control spot by the Head Shrinkers. We get some no-selling of headshots, which I thought was really nice because it wasn't overdone here. We get an ugly double clothesline, missed topper up headbutt, which allows for the hot tag. Rick cleans house. We get double noggin knocker, which doesn't work. Love that spot. You know, Rick does the double noggin knocker. Both Head Shrinkers just look at each other for a second. Then they headbutt Rick. That's a good spot. Then we get a double team stroke. Overhead belly to belly by Scotty. Then he hits a Frankensteiner, which gets the three. Steiners win. Good hard hitting match.
Not a bad match. Yeah, this is one of the few highlights of this.
Yep.
A good ending, an actual clean,
clean finish.
Clean, makes sense ending.
My goodness.
Don't get used to it, folks.
Yeah, who would have heard of such a thing?
Mm-hmm.
How much have the Steiners improved between what we saw at Capital Combat to this?
Yeah, a lot better. Rick doesn't have the fro going on over his poking through his headgear anymore. Much improved.
They just know what they're doing in the ring a little better.
And they get a title run. They get a title run pretty soon after this actually too. So.
Yep. Right here between like here and like 95, 96. To me, Steiners were probably one of the best tag teams in the world at that point.
There was another good spot in this, too. I didn't really remember because I don't do something for the kids one time during his match. But Head Trigger's got Rick Steiner up for like a doomsday device almost.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy came off the top rope, and in midair, Rick Steiner reversed it into a, you know, into like a just a power basically slam, power slam. Yeah, yep. That was a nice spot.
Too. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see him do that a couple times. Yep. And it always looks like he's going to kill himself when he does it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not one of my favorite spots, but it always looks cool. Mm-hmm. We go to Gene in the back.
Caesar.
who's with Doink?
Caesar.
He desecrated it. Mm-hmm. Gene watched him do it. He watched him do it. We get a replay of the cash shot to Crush with a really great crowd reaction. Mm-hmm. You know, they got a nice close-up of this this nice young lady who was just taken aback. By the deviousness of the evil Doink. And then Doink says that, Crush, by the end of the night, we'll be seeing double vision. And then he squirts his flower.
Called foreshadowing, folks.
There's a little bit of foreshadowing right there. Let's go to the match. Crush taking on Doink.
I forgot just how great this Doink gimmick was at the beginning when he was a heel. It was everything from his music to his mannerisms, and just when he would come out, it would have the happy clown music, and it would go into that, you know, and he'd come out all happy. As soon as that music would turn into the evil music, his face will change, and you're thinking, like, you know, what they remind me of is it. You know, it just, how sick, demented he looked. It was, that gimmick was so great, and they fucked it up by bringing in midgets and, you know.
Do you want a balloon? They float. They all float
down here.
when you're down here with me, Crush, you'll float too. I love that movie.
Great gimmick.
Best entrance theme ever, though. Yeah. And this is good Doink. This is Matt Bourne, and he's awesome. It's all Crush to start, and boy, does
Crush sucks.
He
would go on to be great as a heel, like Nation of Domination Crush, and then part of Chronic later on. You know, kind of getting a little too much involved in it, but yeah, he sucks.
And he has a great mullet.
Pineapple head. Yes, he wins mullet of the night.
Mullet of the night.
Fantastic mullet.
It is pretty goddamn good.
Fluffy in every spot.
Fluffy, huh? and he is way too bright. Mm. Get an ugly neck breaker by Crush, which looked pretty fucking good. Doink with some offense and a great pile driver. Great.
You could see Crush's head underneath his leg as he was coming down.
Yep.
And you didn't hurt him. That was great about it.
Yep, so. He didn't cripple him. Mm-hmm. match. Doink gets clotheslined to the floor. Teases going under the ring. We get a ref bump. Doink back out. Tries to go back under. Gets cut off again. Back in the ring. Crush does his Kona Crush thing. I don't know where he grabs your head and squeezes. Mm-hmm. Not in the sexy way.
Macho says at one point, what does he say? He says, Crush is not even a dentist. Because he said something about him jumbling his teeth. Oh. He goes, Crush isn't even a dentist.
Yeah, you get this nice, long, dramatic pause. And you could just hear the gears turning. I'm like, hold on. Knocked his teeth loose. Oh, he's not even a dentist. Yeah. Nailed it. I'm sure he gave himself like a fist pump.
Mm-hmm. Crush with a horrible spinning back leg round kick.
Yep, back leg round kick. Fuck that move.
It was horrible. That was for a big guy like Crush to do that move.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
It didn't look good at all.
Get another Doink coming in from behind with a cash shot. It's an illusion. Doink wins. Short match. Great fucking finish, though.
Yeah, the whole match was decent. It was good.
Yeah.
Probably. We'll see.
It was an okay match.
Yep.
Made better by just being on that grand scale, and you always get that nice image of both the Doinks looking at each other and mirroring
each other. Yep.
What they're doing, and that is so awesome.
Yeah. The second Doink was Steve Kern, too, of Skinner fame.
Yep, formerly known as Skinner. Mm-hmm. He was also part of the Fabulous Ones, right?
Yep.
I do believe.
We're trying to figure it out. We originally thought it was Steve Lombardi because he ends up playing Doink later on.
Yep.
Yep. But yep.
Decent match. Didn't hate it. Love the finish.
Yeah, I just found the second racial stereotype.
Oh, yes. Now then, we go to Todd Pettengill. Yeah. And he asks some nice Asian photographers, you know, was there two Doinks?
Yoko, Las Vegas, number one. Yokozuna, number one. Yeah, Yokozuna, number one.
Shit you not. That's exactly what they did. Well, good.
Too.
Fucking Christ.
Yokozuna, number one.
Oh, and they're all smiles, and it's terrible.
With their big-ass cameras, because we all know the stereotype that Asian people love to have their cameras.
Oh, and it makes my brain hurt. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Let's get away from this. Yeah. Next match. this was a big shocker to both of us. Mm-hmm. Razor Ramon taking on Bob Backlund.
Yeah.
It's Bob Backlund's first WrestleMania. And I really hope that Bob put on some sunscreen, because, if we didn't mention it, they're fucking outside.
In Las Vegas. Bobby the Brain Heenan calls Bob Backlund Opie.
Yep.
And we also know during this match that Macho Man is still talking about Sherry. Oh, because we forgot to mention earlier on during the second match, they talked about how Luna beat up Sherry in the back again.
There's updates throughout the entire show
about this Sherry and Luna thing, which...
We get no video footage, but apparently these two are just having like a Pier 6 brawl the entire fucking night. Toothpick toss. Then we get some big Razor chants.
Yes.
Which...
Too early for a smart crowd. Yeah. That's the only thing. Back in 93.
Who would have fucking known that Las Vegas had some smarks there? Because Razor is firmly heel at this point. But anyway, match starts. Get some nice back and forth. And then an awesome atomic drop by Bob Backlund. Shut up.
You want to call it that? You go ahead.
Shut up. He held him up there forever. He walked him around the ring.
That was good. The ending was stupid.
Well, you know, Razor just couldn't bump to Bob's awesomeness. we get a roll up by Razor out of nowhere. That's your finish. Razor wins.
Another shitty ending.
Yep. It was clean, though. It was short. Yeah. Real short. It was probably, what, a five-minute match? Including, you know, intros. Yeah, filler match.
And this is something I wrote down, but no build-up for match, because, you know, WrestleMania now is everything on the card has, even if it's not a great build-up, there's something there. You know, this looks like it was just a match to put someone out there and to show Razor Ramon.
This was their version of last year's Battle Royal. That's it. Yep. Lazy booking. Okay, we'll just throw two guys out there. Yep. Instead of going, okay, well, we'll put 20 guys out there. Yeah.
Oh, you know what we forgot? We got to mention the match didn't make the card.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It was Bam Bam Bigelow and Kamala. For some reason, you know, I guess they thought this show didn't need any more shittiness to it.
Yeah, it did. But here's one thing that is not shittiness. Yep. We go to the back with Mean Gene, who's with Money Inc. And, we're going to go to that awesome promo right now.
I saw that. I couldn't believe it. Another man watching at home was the immortal Hulk Hogan. And quite candidly, he couldn't believe it either.
Yak, 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 Oakland. We've been hearing him cry for weeks now. Well, it's time to put up or shut up. It's now. This is WrestleMania 9. This is Las Vegas, Nevada. And this is Caesar's Palace, where the stakes are always high. And that's the way Money Incorporated likes it, because the higher the stakes, the bigger the bankroll when you win, and we don't make bets that we can't win. They say they're going to bankrupt Money Incorporated. Well, how do you bankrupt a company who has an unlimited credit line? And that's what we've got. This is our city, the city of money. You're going to come into our city? This is our backyard. What are the odds, Oakland, of beating a dog in his own backyard?
I don't know about that. I'm not a betting man. Urban R. Scheister.
You know something, mega morons? You've got all the answers. That's right. Beefcake, you've got the protective mask that's going to save you in this match. Well, I'm going to tell you what Money Inc.'s going to do to it. We're going to take the mask off and beat your face into oblivion. By the time we're through, you're going to look like a jigsaw puzzle with a few of the pieces missing. And speaking of jigsaw puzzles, we heard Hulk Hogan got into a little accident coming out of the gym last night. That's what money can do. And you know something, Oakland? You think Beefcake's face looks bad? Wait until you get a load of Hogan's.
Well, I don't know if I completely follow that. I thank you, gentlemen. Tag Team Champions Money Incorporated. Right now, let's go to Finkus Maximus.
The Mega Morons line was fantastic.
Yeah, who would have thought that IRS could cut a decent promo? Yeah. I just couldn't even do that awesome promo justice. I mean, both those guys own that shit, especially Ted. Yeah. He had a little hiccup there, but who gives a fuck? He was so awesome. He was just in the pocket right there. Great promo. Loved every single second of that. All right, tag team title match. Let's do it.
Unfortunately.
Money Inc., your champ's taking on the Mega Maniacs with Jimmy Hart.
First thing that sticks out to me on this is the fact that, you know, when was there ever a Hulk Hogan match that goes into the middle of WrestleMania, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a guy that, you know, he's always been in the main event of every WrestleMania. For the most part, he's always been right around the main event.
Foreshadowing. To me, looking back at it now, it's mild foreshadowing.
Oh, absolutely it is. But, you know, watching at the time, watching live, you know, you just go, oh, well, that's odd. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. that must mean that show is this good.
Yeah.
That they had to put Hogan
in the middle of it.
In a tag title, in the middle of it. Oh my God, how awesome.
A couple of notes from the beginning, IRS carrying the belt out, and I can't remember who was, you know, because nowadays no one ever wears a belt. You got fucking dumbass Cena carrying around his neck.
Well, what else is he supposed to do with them? Wear them both at the same time?
No, get one belt. That goes without saying. Yeah. but him actually carrying the belt, he's one of the first ones I actually saw carrying the belt. So just kind of throw back on that. And Bruce Barbecake's mask looks like the same mask they used for the Undertaker, only painted later on.
Well, money was pretty tight back in those days, so I'm sure they just took the stickers off it.
Just like now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Red and Yellow Smoke brings out the Mega Maniacs.
Oh, yeah.
Hogan has a black eye, figuratively and literally, because his eye is black.
Yes.
It is insane.
From his,
stupid jet ski accident. Yeah.
No, you're talking about Money Inc. paid off people to out of the gym.
Yeah, they paid people off. All right, Good Guys Clear the Ring as Real American still plays. I got to admit that was always kind of one of my favorite things when, you know, Hogan would come out, you know, and then he'd hit the ring, bad guy, you know, they try to get the Pearl Harbor job on him, you know, clears the ring while the music's still playing. Yeah. Love that shit. Mm-hmm.
You know what my favorite part about it, though, was when Beefcake went over to try to get a double high five from Hogan. Hogan turned around and left him hanging.
Yeah, fucking right. Man. Leave that bitch hanging. Fuck that guy. Hogan's slim and trim.
Out the juice for a couple years,
looks like. Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, this is that time where, you know, no steroid guys. That's why Bret Hart's got the belt.
Yep.
Money Inc. They isolate Beefcake to start. Till Ted hurts his hand on Beefcake's face. Ted DiBiase, fucking top five greatest workers ever. I write down, I hate Beefcake, as you can see there. This is the match of 1,000 punches. Hogan with an eye poke in front of the ref.
And the ref doesn't even say nothing. Doesn't even mosh him at all.
Nothing.
Who's the heels in this match?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, look at that. Your biggest face ever. Man, eye pokes right in front of the ref. And smiles about it. Yuck.
Very heelish.
Stink. Yep. Money Inc. bails after that. And then fucking Earl Hebner, referee Earl Hebner, he goes over and he tells the Fink that unless Money Inc. gets back into the ring by the count of 10, they will lose the match and lose the belts.
When the hell did the referees get that much power to do that? And when has that ever happened since then?
Who died and made Earl Hebner fucking commissioner?
Yep.
Seriously, where's Jack Tunney at?
And Bobby said made the line of the match when he said, "What do we do? What does he do? Make the rules up as he goes along?"
Absolutely. Heenan is pissed. He is irate, and you know what? Rightfully, goddamn so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they get back into the match. Then we get a $4 million dream on Hogan. And is the world is just falling down around us. But yeah, a $4 million dream. When have you ever seen that move
be longer than a minute?
That long. Yeah. And this is when my kid tells me, looking at Hogan, he's so old, he shouldn't fight. And this is before he turns heel and becomes awesome.
Yeah. He wasn't even 40 this time.
Yeah, he was still, you know, fairly youthful here. Brutus, he comes in with a sleeper behind the ref's back. We get some tags made. We get a high knee. Yeah. An atomic drop to Ted. Then he follows that. DiBiase with a Halliburton shot to Brute Eye. Ted tries to rip the mask off. And if he does, it'll be a hockey game. A face-off. God damn. I told you Heenan was in the zone here tonight. He is just on fire. They get the mask off. We get some numerous face shots.
Facials.
Yep. And Heenan again follows it up with it. It sounds like a trip to the hardware store.
He wants to put magnets on his face.
We get some magnet jokes.
Where he did that Well, it was like a year before I heard that, something like that, around that time. Yeah, yep. It was before Raw. It was when they used to do the studio shows on Monday nights.
Yep.
Primetime wrestling.
Yeah, primetime. Yeah. Yep. And what, like Great American Wrestling or something like that?
Something like that. Yep.
Something like that. Love those shows. Love jobber shows. Mm-hmm. Love squash matches. We get a sleeper to IRS. Ted breaks it up, which results in a ref bump. Tag to Hogan. Yeah, because the ref was there. Big boot, mask shots. Both faces pin the bad guys. Jimmy Hart comes in, reverses his jacket. It has referee stripes, and he does a double three count.
And then they act like they won the titles, yeah. And the whole crowd popped like they won the titles.
No, they were kind of like, okay. Even the crowd seemed a little bit confused, the majority of them.
And then they were holding up the belts.
Yeah, they're holding up the belts, celebrating like the heels that they are. Danny Davis comes out. He raises Money Inc.'s hands. Money Inc., they win by DQ.
Because apparently it was because of the mask shots that the referee didn't see. And...
makes sense. Mm-hmm. Way too much referee shenanigans, though, this entire night. Mm-hmm. And now then, your great faces. What do they do after, you know, their cheating
thieves.
Ways?
They become thieves.
Their cheating ways, you know, they get caught. Well, they decide to threaten a referee and then have Jimmy Hart toss him out to the floor, nearly crippling him.
Yep.
Because Danny Davis hit pretty damn hard out there. Oh, yeah. Almost hit the table. And then they decide to go in and steal IRS's briefcase, break into it.
Oh, no. They knew the combination to his briefcase.
No, it was 1, 2, 3, 4.
I guess so. Unbelievable.
So, there's money and a brick in there. Mm-hmm. So, instead of throwing a brick to the fans, they throw money to the fans. Mm-hmm. That was fucking jerks.
Could have been better.
Yeah, and Macho Man says that Mega Maniacs are Mega Maniacs.
Duh.
What does that mean? And the crowd goes apeshit for money, as they rightfully should. Mm-hmm. That match sucked balls.
Totally.
Yeah, that's... if I have to give it a star rating, it gets a 0.
Still not the worst match of the night, though.
No, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but god damn did it stink. And this whole thing goes on for so long that Real American plays for 3 times.
Yes.
Gene's in back with Mr. Perfect.
Gene's horrible.
Yep, and Perfect says Lexorcist. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He just
stumbled like 3 or 4 times before he actually got it right.
Oh, yeah. He just gets frustrated, too. It's funny. Yeah, he's trying to call him the narcissist. He's calling him Lex Luger. It was good stuff. Which leads us to our next match. The narcissist, Lex Luger, taking on Mr. Perfect.
During the Lex Luger's entrance, he has chicks carrying his little mirrors down.
Yeah, and, some scantily
clad. And they're wearing thongs, showing their asses in a PG show at the time, which is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, this is...
And Macho Man makes a comment. He goes, ladies, have you met the Macho Man?
Have you met the Macho Man? Yeah. Scantily clad women. One of the best entrances of the entire night.
Luger's rant tiger is atrocious, though.
Oh, yeah. But the ladies, they have mirrors with fireworks on top of them, so that's pretty awesome. It's like a shark with a laser on its head. And there is zero dead air this entire night for Jim Ross. There is not a moment that is allowed to breathe without Jim Ross talking. And I'm sure that, you know, that someone in his ear. And later he even says that, you know, if you're listening on the radio.
Which puts all in perspective.
Yep, which, you know, I said, like, almost at the beginning. Because when, you know, they're doing the intros with Caesar and all that shit, you know, he is talking the entire goddamn time. And I even said, you know, what the fuck is he doing? Does he think this on the goddamn radio? Yeah. All right, let's get down to this match. $1 million knee lift whiffs by Perfect, but, you know, they pretend like it connects.
Yeah.
And he is just flying around the ring.
He is so fluent, though.
He is fantastic. Nobody hit a better running drop kick than him.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even think of anybody else that even does it. Mm-hmm. Like, no one does it anymore. But, yeah, just a beautiful running drop kick. Perfect targets a knee. Lex targets the back. The same lower back that he previously injured, yeah. As opposed to, you know, getting a new lower back.
Yeah, he had a backiectomy.
Backiectomy. Heenan's still on fire. He makes fun of Ross and Savage. That's always good. We get a near fall off power slam. Match. Ugly top rope drop kick by Perfect. Backslide by Luger. Gets the 3, but Perfect's feet around the ropes. Who cares? Lex Luger wins.
Yeah. Around this time, I noticed that Macho Man is incredibly facey as an announcer.
Oh, and like, it gets worse.
Annoyingly facey. Yeah.
And it gets worse. So he bitches about the shenanigans afterwards. Lex Luger knocks him out.
Loaded elbow.
With the loaded forearm.
Mm-hmm.
And yet another shit ending. So, yep. Yeah, we're on fire here with these terrible endings. Perfect catches up to him in the back. Go ahead.
Good segue here, finally.
Yep.
Yeah, he catches up in the back, attacks Luger from behind, and this is where he was talking to Shawn Michaels, who was wearing nothing but pants and shoes, I'm guessing, too.
Oh,
and
I
it kind of set up a future feud with HBK and Mr. Perfect, which kind of worked out. So.
Yeah, good stuff.
It was good stuff,
yeah. Yep, I don't remember a whole lot of the feud. I just remember they had a nice brawl on Raw,
because mm-hmm.
They ended up on like somebody's car, right?
Yep. Yeah. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, good stuff. Macho is pissed and on his feet. He is all up in heat and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, he wants
afterwards.
To knock him out.
Yeah, I mean, I look like, you know, he was ready to throw down. Fuck. Yep.
At one point, Macho says, "Shut up, Heenan," and Bobby says, "Shut up, Ross."
Yeah,
he's telling that he's not going to tell Macho Man to shut up.
Fuck it, right?
That
was great. Good stuff. Next match. Here we go. This is the true main event of the show.
Yeah,
Giant Gonzalez.
Oh, and
with Harvey Whippleman taking the Undertaker.
Oh, I don't want to say it's a waste of it. I think a guy was not great in the ring, but this is a waste of a talent. You know, it was horrible. A bodysuit, a Bigfoot bodysuit. I'm guessing, kind of.
He's a Yeti.
Yeah, a Yeti. it's, you know, with I'm sure everybody knows what the Giant Gonzalez was. It's just hair in places to include his crotchal region.
Yep.
But, his butt crack.
Yeah, but they couldn't bother to put hair around his ass crack.
Yep.
Yes, and trust me, my 5-year-old noticed it.
Mm-hmm. it's just horrible. What the hell were they thinking? That's the only thing I think of. It's like, what the hell were they thinking?
They sprayed muscles onto the guy. Yeah. You know, this is not what... When you have a guy that's 7'7", and that can passably move in the ring... You don't need to do this.
Yeah.
You know, you just put him out there as, holy shit, this guy's fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you needed to do. You could send him out there in a hoodie and some jeans, and it would have worked. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They could manage to just take something gold and turn it into shit.
Yeah.
Well done. And, yeah, this was shit. They billed Giant Gonzalez as being 8 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He kind of looked like it tonight. He looked huge.
He did. I made a remark one time. I don't remember him being that because he was in the last week's show,
uh-huh.
And he did not look that big because Sting wasn't that far behind underneath him. But he looked giant.
Yeah, he was huge.
If he was wearing listening shoes or something, I don't know.
He made Taker look tiny,
yep.
And it's pretty tough to make a guy that's 6'10" and a half look tiny. Let's see. All right.
The poor Vulture. Don't forget that.
Yeah, Taker comes out in a funeral chariot, so that is awesome.
Yep.
And he has a buzzard with him.
It is just tied down to the post.
Yep.
But bad for the poor thing.
Oh, that's terrible. we get some Taker no selling. Then they choke each other. This match had a ton of chokes. It's bowling shoe ugly. Macho won't let go of Perfect losing. That's not the first time.
Yeah.
That's not the last time I'm going to write that. we get some more Taker no selling. Gonzalez can't sell for shit. I mean, he is over the top comedic selling. and someone like him shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be doing wacky, facials. you know, and he shouldn't be doing, you know, goofy arm waving as he's trying to sell. No, you don't need to do that. Both guys attack each other's managers. We get a chloroform finish.
Which the announcers oversell like crazy.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a smell-o-vision.
Like a smell all the way up in the rafters.
Which
there aren't rafters.
Macho knows what chloroform smells like.
Yep.
Right, Stephanie?
Oh, we went there.
Zing. Yeah, that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Bill Alfonso takes the worst choke slam ever.
He gets choke slammed out of his fucking shoes. Tony Gurria's out in a toga. I noticed that.
Mm.
Did you notice Tony Gurria and his perfect fucking hair? Yeah, that's right. No 90s WWF show was complete without seeing Tony Gurria.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. Taker gets stretchered out, though, so we get a stretcher job. But the crowd, this is a smart crowd. They start chanting Hogan. Like, seriously, is that, that's like the fucking CM Punk chant.
Yeah, I was thinking the same exact thing.
or the We Want Cena chant or something.
Yeah.
Christ. So, yeah, stretcher job. They take him out. He's gone. And then, bong. The gong hits. Taker's back out, looking like he was roofied. clotheslines a fucking giant down. Everyone's happy.
I think it's good that he came back out.
Absolutely. Because
that totally could have crushed him. That would have just made him look really bad.
Yeah, it would have made
him. Not would have destroyed him, but it's just the fact that he came back out. I mean,
it would have made him look weak.
I mean, if I mean, I think only thing they actually made it better because he got to use the music. I mean, because the only thing I think better was that you have him roll off the stretcher, but the fact he went back and they used the music kind of made it, gave the crowd a pop.
Yep, so. You got the big gong. That was it. And then out he comes, you know.
Something I noticed during this match, too, especially because I guess mainly because of the Undertaker match, this is why having an outdoor show on the West Coast is a bad idea. Because it stayed light out the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, it was not dark at all.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
And it just, actually wasn't even, no, I just thought about that. You know, for the Undertaker, you got to have it dark.
But, you know, it worked, though. Like, that entrance was awesome.
Yeah.
Super awesome. And he was as white as Sheamus here, so.
Mm-hmm.
go to the back, Gene Pimps the Hotline. wait, hold on, wrong show.
Yeah. Those are your Nitro cast.
Yeah, I'm just so used to saying that during a pay-per-view. that pisses me off so much. You're already paying for the show.
Yeah,
sorry to do a quick little aside here. But you're already paying for the show. And now then, this money-grubbing fuck is going to come on this show that you're paying for and ask for more money. So you could go listen to him on his hotline. Fuck you, Gene Okerlund.
Balls of Gene.
Fuck you. You're worse than Hitler. Crazy. Ooh. It's almost the same mustache, too. And your hamburger sucks.
Worse than cancer.
And your hamburger sucks. All right.
Yeah, so, you remember that?
Yeah.
You went to that, too, right? We got to meet him. I still got his autograph somewhere.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. You remember that, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went to that.
Yeah, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a mark. Gene gives us
a 96.
I don't care.
Something like that.
I was too cool for that. Still am. Gene gives us a recap of Yoko's path of destruction. And then Hogan comes out. Brother. All the Hulkamaniacs are with Brett. So he's giving Brett his blessing to go out there and defend his title. He calls Brett a brother. And then
he says interior bionic buttfuck. What is that like? Bionic butt? I can't read my own notes. He said something about the bionic. He was going to say bionic elbow or something like that. He said bionic butt first, and he had to correct himself.
Yeah, yep. Butt fucker.
Foreshadowing.
And then he issues a challenge.
Oh my God.
To Brett or who?
The Jap. if it's Brett or if it's the Jap.
Yep.
So evidently, we are World War II freaking racist there on the show. Yep.
I'm going to take that nip out, brother. Oh, my Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, like, who thought that was a good idea? Calling a Samoan a Jap.
Yeah.
And then using those exact words. I mean, trust me, you know, we're not overly sensitive fellas here.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, you know, we were taken aback by that and just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Todd Pettengill's with drunk fans beating up on each other.
Yeah, the fake beating up fight.
Yeah, that was
probably the worst thing you could show at a wrestling show.
That's it really hilarious. Is.
Yeah,
I always love to see fans, you know, pretending to fight out in the crowd. You know what I'd rather see? Rather see you two fight to the fucking death.
Yeah.
There, that's what I want to see. Come on, Pettengill. Fire these fuckers up. Main event time.
The winner gets to go meet Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, the winner gets a job to Hogan. WWF title match. Yokozuna with Mr. Fuji out first, taking on your defending champion, Bret Hart.
Jim Ross makes a comment about how he's one of 11 siblings, and Bobby said, did she have all 11 in the first litter?
That was one of the first litter. I told you, man, Heenan is just killing it tonight.
Yep.
Macho is still talking about Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Still pissed off. Like him and Perfect are buddies.
And still, and even throughout, he still mentions about Luna and freaking shooting.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, that continues for the entire night. Mm-hmm. I didn't write that
down.
Those are
the biggest stories of the night.
Yep. You know, what did all that lead to? Exactly.
Yeah. I don't remember anything.
We get a nice reception for Brett, though. Macho respects the pink. God damn right you do, Macho Man.
Macho likes the pink ass.
Damn
Stephanie.
Right he does. Ain't that right, Steph? JR mentions listening on the radio. Yeah, that's where he mentions the radio. Yokozuna is so fat that his knees rub together. That's how big he is. Brett starts off with a flat back drop kick and then some fists. by Brett. Ultimate minimal effect.
Can I talk about the crowd, the stupid crowd now?
Oh, go for it.
During this, oh, you put the NFT put in there, but there are a couple times during this match where the crowd started chanting USA, USA. Now, who exactly are they chanting USA to in this match? Because if you want to be technical, the most American guy in the ring is Yokozuna.
Yeah.
If you really want to be technical, because yeah, he's from the Samoan Islands, which are part of the USA. But Bret Hart's from Canada.
Yeah.
And then thank you, Bobby, because at one point he says, during the second time, this is how stupid these fans are. Bret Hart is Canadian.
Oh, yeah. He calls out the fans, and yep, it's awesome.
It was hilarious. It was great.
He didn't. You know what? I've never been behind heel announcers, you know, because they
can't do
it
right anymore.
They are what they are, but you know what? His points were so valid tonight. Uh-huh. You know, you gotta love him. Where was I?
Yoko doesn't kick out of him.
Yeah, Brett gets Yoko's leg tied up, takes him off his feet. We get a huge leg drop though, because he can't keep him down, and a really great crowd anticipation, like you know. Yoko bounces off the ropes, and you just hear the crowd just go, oh, and then boom, you know. They anticipated it great, played along good, loved it. Yep, that's where we get the USA chant. Then we get some martial arts strikes and kicks. And then my favorite move of the entire match, the Oriental Nerve Hold. There's nothing that pisses me off worse than a fucking nerve hold during a match. Rest holds are a necessary evil. I understand that. I don't care. I just hate the nerve hold. It is so boring. It does nothing. I fucking hate it. More USA chants, and that's when Heenan calls him out. Bulldog by Brett. That gets two. Everything is second rope offense by Brett. Yeah, that's about it. Brett pulls off the turnbuckle cover, runs Yoko into it, slaps on a sharpshooter, surprisingly.
Good too. It wasn't just. I remember good. When I first watched this when I was a kid, I thought, man, he barely has it on him. But looking back, he actually had it on him really well.
Yeah, it took him a minute. I mean, you know, he kind of slid off from the first time, but you know, gets it on pretty good. Gets him in it for a good 30 seconds or so, and then Mr. Fuji, the devious Mr. Fuji, throws some salt in Brett's eyes.
Can I say something great? One thing about this salt?
Absolutely.
This salt was fantastic because the referee couldn't see it, and there was no evidence he did it.
Well, it's
but I mean, usually you get that with assault goes in the eyes usually you get the assault going in the eyes and it goes everywhere and you can see the smoke. This hit his face and it's like it just vanished. I thought that was a good spot.
Well, because he had to save some.
Oh yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But yeah, that's your finish. Yokozuna gets the three
after the salt in the eyes.
Yep. No follow up move. No.
Not
bonsai
even a leg drop. A leg drop.
Yep.
By the way, the bonsai drop should be called a teabag.
No super fat guy teabag. Nothing. So, blah. One's happy
salt
now.
Salt in the eyes, and he goes over, and he just pins him.
But before he can even celebrate.
Yeah, because within a good 5 seconds of the three count.
The referee barely got a chance to count three and toss the belt to Yokozuna before that fuckhole Hulk Hogan's out.
Yeah.
And he's checking on his best buddy. Yep, you know, they're best friends.
Jim
now,
Ross
right?
kept saying that. No, they're best friends.
Oh, yeah, they're best friends. They're best friends, King. Oh. Fuji talks shit. Yeah. Fuji talks shit, challenges Hulk. But you know what? Hulk, he ain't got time for that. He can't go deal with Yokozuna yet. He has to help his good friend Brett out. So he's got Brett on the floor. Brett tells him, no, he waves him off, tells him to go get him. Go get him, champ. Ugh, poor Brett. Brett is the one guy I feel bad for here.
And that's something that just kind of reminded me of the Daniel Bryan angle from earlier at the end of last year. You know, it's just like all of a sudden they just kind of forgot about him and then Cena was thrown into the title mix.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of what it reminded me of. It's like, hey, see you there, Brett. When you're going to have a title match for the whole year. The whole year. He never had his rematch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then he still had to, do like another man for it, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. He got to get beat up by his brother.
Yeah.
Yay.
Great match.
Yeah, absolutely that was. That's one show we will not be covering on here.
Because it's a fantastic, WrestleMania 10, one of the best WrestleManias ever time.
Set
the precedent for WrestleMania.
Just because of two matches.
Yep.
But, yeah, Hogan eventually, he gets his big ass in the fucking ring. Fuji with some salt to Yoko, leg drop, that's it. Your winner and new champ, Hulk Hogan. And
this is where we talked, we mentioned earlier, how we remember watching this as kids, And we were so happy because Hulk Hogan is the champion. Yay. This ended so well. We didn't want the Jap to win the title. fucking racist Hogan.
We don't want that.
Yeah, but now, 21 years later. Yeah, so about 21 years later. And being that we're smarter wrestling fans, this is why we picked this show.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan, you are a terrible person. Just let me start off by saying that. You're a bad father. You're a worse husband.
Oh, yeah.
You're worse than gonorrhea. I don't like you. You're such a fuckhole. Oh, my God. The balls on this guy. For them to go, no, you know what? Yeah, you fine, Hulk. You can get another title run. That's fine. How do you want to do this? Well, you know, brother. I don't want you know, some face going over me clean, you know, to give up the belt. So that ain't happening. I'll drop it back to Yoko, you know, when the time's right.
Because originally, this WrestleMania match was supposed to be Hogan and Bret Hart. That was the the year before the Royal Rumble. Because, you know, but then they secondary scheduled it in, penciled it in for SummerSlam. And this is one of the reasons why they created the King of the Ring pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's just to go, come on, Brett, you know, here you go, man. Mm-hmm. you know, here's a bone, here you go.
Yep.
You're really our number one guy, but you're not our number one draw.
Yep.
This is
explained so well in Brett's book, by the way.
Well, you know, that's before Brett became bitter Bret Hart, like he is now. Christ.
Yes.
Yeah, and the one thing that struck me, though, is that where did Bret Hart go from looking like he did here to an old Native American woman? When did this happen? When did he turn into Tatanka's mom? When did that happen?
It's Goldberg's fault.
I would like to know because you know, Stu and Helen, they don't look like that. Only Brett. But yeah, looking back at this now, it just leaves such a fucking sour taste in your mouth because you know just the politics involved.
Yeah,
you know, in just the string pulling by Hogan. Mm-hmm. And I got to think that Vince probably didn't want to do this either. He probably hated this, but Hogan had him over a barrel. You know, he knew that, okay, business isn't the best. Right, we got to get Hogan back on top, I guess.
Even if he's only here for, more months after this?
Yep.
Not even 3 months.
So, you know, how do we do that? How do we do it? This is what they came up with. And it was, you know, just the worst idea possible. I mean, who looks good coming out of this? Does Yokozuna look better after, you know, taking Hogan out?
The shortest title run in history,
I guess. Yeah. But you know, this didn't make Bret Hart look good.
Nope.
Didn't make Yokozuna look good till King of the Ring. So, isn't that where you get the belt back, right?
Yeah. Okay. Because the Japanese cameraman flash goes off and it blinds Hogan, and then Yoko hits a leg drop at least.
Well, because it wasn't salt.
Yeah, salt evidently gets in your eyes and it incapacitates you, so you can't kick out of a 3 count.
But just this ending just leaves just the sourest taste in your mouth, and there's just no defending it. Yeah. No fucking defending it. It was bullshit.
So wrestling storyline writing is what caused us to pick this, compared to just the sheer stupidity of RoboCop from last week. And this is,
And boy, did this show deliver. 1 to 10, what do you give it?
What did we give last week?
We gave that like a 2.
A 2 or 3?
Yeah.
This was slightly better. I'll put it around the 4.5.
4. Oh, 5, yeah, this is easy.
Because there's a couple decent matches. Even some of the matches with the shitty endings had some good spot, had some good wrestling in it. Just all the endings were just terrible.
The commentary saved the show.
Yes.
So yeah,
made it watchable.
Yeah, so the commentary boosts his show from a 3 to a 4.5.
Yeah.
Match of the night, what do you got?
I'm gonna say the Crush and Doink match. Actually, that's probably one of the better ones.
All right, I'm going Steiners and Head Shrinkers.
That was a good one too. Yeah,
I really like that. Those guys, you know, they went out there. They had just a pretty good flow. You almost got to see both Scott and Rick get paralyzed. So, so that was always fantastic. Who was your MVP of the night?
How can you not go with Hulk Hogan? He wrestled 2 matches. Oh, geez, no. Bobby Heenan. Yeah. It was just a close second with Macho Man.
Yep, Bobby Heenan, definitely.
What was it you said earlier? Macho Man is so bad. He's great.
Oh, yeah.
At announcing. He is. He's just.
He just takes.
Super facey. Overly facey.
He just takes words and puts them together.
Yeah.
You know, not like how, you know, normal people take words, make them form sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Not him. He just takes words, puts them together.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, he was fantastic. And a big fuck you to Hulk Hogan.
So. Yeah.
I think that's it. I'm upset now. I'm ready to go set fire to Hulk Hogan's house. You know what, Hulk? I'm glad that you know your ex-wife, her boyfriend is cheating on her and all that good shit.
I saw that shit too.
Yep. I hope things don't go well there.
You know what? I hope they get back together and she screws him over again.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, yeah. Fuck
takes
you,
more
man.
Money from him.
You know
takes
what? I hope. Yeah, I hope you get back together with her and then she takes more of your money.
Takes your WWE Legends contract money. Yeah,
and then you know. Then you get into another, jet ski accident.
Yeah.
Don't you be peeking over here trying to see what the closing music's going to be. Oh, you'd be looking over here. Yeah, that's it. This was a terrible show. But, you know, it wasn't as bad as Capital Combat.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get any worse than that.
Oh, trust me, we are. Because
we already have one lined up.
Yeah, we already have a show lined up, next week's show. December to Dismember.
Oh, you gave it away? I thought we were
no. Yeah.
Did we tell last week's show?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. December to Dismember.
We're gonna be doing that show from WWE.
The last one.
ECW.
Yes. WWE ECW. Not the first. Not the ones from the original ECW.
Right.
Because there ain't too many bad ECW.
No. Movies. Yeah. We were trying to figure that one out.
And
yeah, I don't think one exists. So
we're going December to Dismember.
Yep. Which is a show that I actually paid for.
Ooh,
yeah,
poor guy.
Yeah, I actually paid for that one.
Yeah.
So yeah, fuck me. yeah, let's get out of here. Let's get the fuck out of here. Watch your stump. That's Twitter. Go follow me there. NitroCast will be returning eventually, probably next week. So I'll be on the lookout for that. And thanks for listening, folks. Go ahead, sir.
Cast of the Champion is the Twitter handle, along with that Mike Spiesman. Cast of the Champions is maybe Sunday night I'll get one out. Hopefully NASCAR is in Pocono this weekend, so maybe Dale Jr. can sweep.
Nope.
No, maybe. We'll see. I'll definitely do a show again
on
Sunday night if Dale Jr. sweeps. But yep. But listen, Cast of the Champions, new one will be coming out.
I would love to comment on that, but unfortunately, I'm not poor and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So, this has been, what the fuck's the name of this show?
Huh?
Wrestling Buddies.
Wrestling Buddies.
All right, we'll catch y'all next time. Peace.
Oh, no, the music's not playing.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person, too.